Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 14th of May. It's been called New York's hottest and hippest literary ticket. It's to The Moth, and pretty soon it's all coming to Milwaukee. The Moth is a nonprofit group that's dedicated to the art of storytelling. And for the Wisconsin show, and eventually this is going to be a program on Wisconsin Public Radio, we'll tell you about that during this hour. Wisconsinites are going to be invited to nominate an every man, every woman storyteller, and you have to do that before tomorrow. So we'll ask you to nominate yourself or somebody. This whole idea started in 1997, when a poet and novelist, George Dawes Green, wanted to recreate in New York the feeling of sultry summer evenings on his native island in Georgia, when moths would attract to the light of the porch, and he and a small group of friends would gather to spin spellbinding tales. The first moth event was held in his East Village living room, and the story spread to larger venues throughout Manhattan. People from all walks of life tell real stories from their lives, and it's just an amazing phenomenon here. Every show in the Moth's history has sold out, most of those within 48 hours. We have two people with us this hour of the program to talk about the fine art of storytelling. Andy Borowitz is with us. Andy's been here before. He's an online columnist with BorowitzReport.com. His work appears in The New Yorker, The New York Times, and he is going to be hosting the Moth event in Milwaukee on June 6th. Andy, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Kathleen.
Been a while.
Hello again. How many times have I been on your show now? Is it 18 or 19 times?
Have you been counting them?
I believe I'm the co-host of the Kathleen Dunn Show.
Well, hey, that wouldn't be a bad thing. You come co-host with me on June 6th. We'll have fun.
Are you going to be at our show?
Well, maybe I will, yeah.
You should be.
I should be. Why not? Well, of course, I'll be there June 6th.
Okay. I don't mean to hog all the airtime. We have somebody, another guest here as well, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We'll have you tell us a story in a moment. You're always really good at that. Joining us also is Leah Tao, who is executive and creative director of The Moth. Leah, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Kat.
Yeah, our pleasure. So how did this become the hottest ticket in New York and the hottest ticket on the West Coast, and pretty soon it's going to be the hottest ticket here? We need stories? What's the story? Leah?
Well, you know, it has grown very organically from the start in New York. As you mentioned in your introduction, the Moth began in a living room, and by the third Moth evening, almost 100 people showed up in George's living room, and he said, well, I have to move this to a bigger venue. I can't fit 100 people in my living room. And, you know, there's a real hunger for stories, especially, I think, in big cities where we don't often have a chance to get together and talk to each other and have the time to tell stories. You know, George had moved here from Georgia, and he felt that everybody in New York was going to cocktail parties and trying to be clever in 30-second sound bites or 13-second sound bites, and didn't really have a time to tell each other stories and to listen to stories. And so that's what he wanted to recreate in New York. And from the start in New York and everywhere we've gone, we've just seen this tremendous response. People have a real hunger for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is, Andy? Is it because we're living in this era of sound bites, or why do we have a hunger for storytelling?
Well, I will try to explain that in 4 seconds. I'll go on at greater length. You know, I do think that we're in a very high-tech culture now. Everything has a lot of technology sort of taking off the edges of how we communicate. You know, the TV shows are so prepackaged. Even, you know, the so-called cable news where there's spontaneous interviews and arguments, you know, all this stuff has been so pre-interviewed and pre-packaged that you're not seeing, it's like watching professional wrestling, you know, you're not seeing anything spontaneous. And then you go to the movies and, you know, God knows we all love Star Trek, but Star Trek has been generated by computers. And sort of the absence of a human voice or a human hand in our entertainment and our information is something that people are really thirsting for. And it's not just the moth, you know, it's NPR shows like This American Life and Garrison Keillor, but it's all in that same realm, which is old-fashioned storytelling, taking people from point A to point B just with a simple narrative. And, you know, it sounds deceptively simple and everything, but it's actually kind of hard to do. And when it's done well, people are enthralled.
They sure are. I'm glad you brought up the Garrison Keillor show. That one's been going for years and years and years, and he is a master storyteller, isn't he?
He is, and he's actually a friend of the Moth. He's doing. We do a big fundraiser every year in New York called the Moth Ball. Hilarious!
Oh.
I had to share that with you.
Oh.
Garrison Keillor and I are going to co-host it in November for those Wisconsinites who want to make the trek to New York. It's the best party I go to every year. But you actually don't have to go all the way to New York to experience the Moth, because as we've said, we're coming to Milwaukee.
I know. And why are you coming to Milwaukee? I'm glad you are, Leah, but why Milwaukee?
Well, you know, we did a national tour in 2006, 2007, and didn't have a chance to go to Milwaukee when we did that tour. It was our first tour outside of New York, and it was a great success. We were sold out everywhere. We had great press and great reception from people, but, you know, there were markets that we didn't have a chance to go to, and we decided after that if we had a chance to go out again and do more, we'd want to try to go to all the places that we missed the first time around, and, you know, instead of just going to all the biggest cities, you know, that are, you know, after New York and Los Angeles, the 10 biggest cities in this country, we thought, well, we want to go to some different markets and some different size markets. And so we made a list, and Milwaukee was on that list. And then, of course, right now, as you mentioned, we have this radio show coming out, and we are prioritizing the cities where we have a really good partnership with the radio stations, and they're interested in airing our show.
So, yeah. And tell me more about the radio show. This is going to be once a week or once a month or what?
No, it's just going to be, it's going to be about once a month to start. We have produced 5 hours in the pilot season. We are working to produce more hours for 2010, but it'll probably be a little while before it's a weekly show. It is something we're doing in conjunction with Jay Allison, the independent radio producer Jay Allison, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, it's terrific. What a great idea. I know Leah has said, and let me get you to respond to this, Andy. Some of the storytelling is funny. Some of it is serious. Usually it's kind of both woven in the storytelling. I liked her comment, the best stories are born from the moments when we got our wings burned or clipped a little. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, you know, interestingly, I've told a number of stories of the Moth. Maybe, you know, I've hosted many, many shows, but I've maybe told at this point five true stories from my life. And every time I tell a story, I like to portray myself as a tremendous loser, which doesn't take a lot of effort. But I think stories about losing are always more interesting than stories where the ending is, and then I save the day, you know, because that's, who wants to hear about that? I think we like to sort of share our vulnerability and our humanity. That's where both comedy and tragedy come from, if I may get a little pretentious here.
No, go right ahead.
On WPR. but I mean, I think that, you know, there's something, you know, cathartic about drama and, you know, both comedy and tragedy. And the cathartic thing is we get to go through these trials along with the storytellers. And so, you know, we've had stories about, you know, guys who've been, you know, attacked by, you know, have been knifed on the street, and we've had stories about people who've had terrible romantic reversals. I recently told a story about taking my son to Manchester, England, to see Manchester United, his favorite team, play Liverpool, and we saw them get crushed in their worst defeat in 14 years. I know, and I think I was probably responsible for that because I come from a sort of a losing sports town, which is Cleveland. So anyway, up until now, of course. But we like stories that are you know, you'd think that stories that are about losing or about getting hurt would be a bummer, but they're not. They're actually very uplifting. They're human, and they're sort of that's kind of our meat at the Moth. Wouldn't you agree, Leah, that the stories where we something bad happens are always better?
Yeah, there has to be some kind of conflict, some kind of tension that drives the story forward. Otherwise, you know, it's over pretty quickly and it's
That's
pretty
right.
boring. No conflict, no story, we usually
yeah.
say.
That's right.
I don't know if you'll have to be sure to listen to him when you're in town. I don't know if either of you are. We're Brewers fans here, baseball fans, and Bob Uecker is such a marvelous storyteller. And part of the reason you've just nailed it is because he wasn't a great baseball player.
Right.
And he's been able to make this career for years and years and years of how he was a losing baseball player, but he's a terrific announcer. And he can just weave those stories inning after inning after inning, put in a pause for a commercial break or when somebody's hitting a home run. He's a master of it.
Well, Bob Uecker is great. It's sometimes a little bit hard, you know, when you have a play-by-play announcer who is a former athlete and he was just awesome, because it's kind of, in a way, it's alienating.
Yes, right.
And, you know, we don't really relate. I am good at no sports, so I don't relate to anybody who's really excellent. But it's been really hard for me recently because, you know, I'm from Cleveland, so I have this love affair right now with LeBron James. But it's very, very surreal to have such a good, you know, basketball god playing in a Cleveland uniform. I'm having a really hard time. It's like having, you know, Barack Obama in the White House. It's very weird being on the winning side for a change, having a hard time with it.
Tell me more about the stories you've heard. There have been thousands of performances at this point, Leah. What stands out?
Well, what stands out in any story is, you know, the authenticity of people really being themselves. And, you know, this is the concept of at the Moth is we usually have a couple of headliners, but then we have, you know, we've had a pickpocket, we've had an astronaut, we've had a New York City cop, we've had a hot dog eating champion. And all of these people are not professional storytellers. They're people who tell true stories, and we work with them in advance to help them figure out, well, what is the story? What was really going on for you? You know, what's the best 10-minute story that you have from your life? And what was that story really about? And we help them flesh out the story. But at the end of the day, when they are standing on stage, even though we've worked with them beforehand, you know, they're very, very naked in front of this audience. I mean, they're not professionals. And even the professionals, you know, can't hide behind being an actor and doing lines or being a writer and reading from a book. I mean, everyone has to stand there as themselves, not as their professional public persona. And that's a really exhilarating and terrifying experience if you ask anyone who's done it. And I think that's part of what the audience responds to so powerfully, is this feeling that this is real and it's happening in real time. And it's sort of always a high wire act, because even though we can work with people and say, well, what's the story and how should we open it and how should we end it and what are the points in between, and we do some editing and we do some work to figure out, you know, what is the emotional truth in the story and all of that, in the moment of telling it, you have no notes and you only have yourself. And if you dare to be open and let that audience come to you, they will reward you, you know, 100 times for that. But it's a scary thing, and so you always have this feeling in the moment like, it could die. It's not as rehearsed as a theater play, you know, a theatrical play where everybody knows their
right,
lines.
Right.
It's this, you know, it's very much alive in the moment, and you never know if it's going to live or die, and that's the excitement of it.
Is it, you mentioned a pickpocket, is it like going to confession for some people?
Well, we try to avoid that. I mean, of course, we want everybody to be really honest, but you know, what we don't want is, you know, the kind of thing that you might see in a confessional or in a shrink's office. You know, often when people
right.
are just babbling on about their problems and their issues, we say, you know, go see a priest or go see a shrink. This is not for the Moth. At the Moth, you have to tell a really good story. But in order to tell that good story, you have to be in touch with the emotional reality. But then you have to kind of process it. You know, the first step of telling a good story is to go deep inside of yourself and look for the real truth. But then the next step is to step outside of yourself and say, well, why should they care? Does this matter to anyone but me? And how can I make it a really compelling story and not just a confessional? So it's kind of a confessional plus. You know, it's a processed confession, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Andy, I'm going to ask you to tell us a short story. We can't do 10 minutes. Will you do that after we pause?
I can tell you probably a short story.
Thank you. We'll look forward to it. We're talking about the Moth, nonprofit group dedicated to the art of storytelling. They're coming to Milwaukee, actually, June 6, 8 p.m. at Turner Hall, which is a terrific place in the city. Lots of history at that place. Tickets are on sale now. And if you want more information about all of this, and actually tomorrow is a deadline for the Every Man, Every Woman person who will be appearing at the Moth. So you need to visit their website for more information to both purchase tickets and also if you would like to be that every man or every woman storyteller. Others for the event will include Andy will be moderating the event and telling stories, and Tom Farley, brother of the late comedian actor Chris Farley, will also be performing. Five storytellers will perform, each sharing a 10-minute personal story on stage without notes. The entries for the Every Man, Every Woman are due tomorrow, Friday, May 15th. And if you'd like to join us, hey, okay, 800-486-8655. This sticks in my mind today. Yesterday somebody called and said, you give me too many numbers. You got to do them in another fashion. So is it easier if I say 1-800-486-8655? 8655. So you think of an 86-year-old and a 55-year-old, and it's easier to remember. Maybe that's true. Or the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Andy Borowitz is joining us, and the Moth Executive Director, Leah Tau, is with us as well, and we're welcoming phone calls. We'll take them shortly, 800-486-8655. Or the email address is talk@wpr.org. Andy's going to tell us a story. Tell us a story, Andy.
Well, I'm going to do this, and I have to say in advance that that Leah has not rehearsed me at all. So
okay.
This story would be much better if I had had a chance to work with Leah on it.
All right.
But it does have there are two advantages to it. One is it's not going to be 10 minutes long. It's going to be about 2 minutes long.
All right.
And the other thing is I've never told it on the radio before, ever.
Really?
This is a world premiere.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, well, I got married last January, January of 2008, to the love of my life. Very beautiful and brilliant writer named Olivia Gentile. Olivia and I, we eloped in my apartment. We had a judge come in, and we did our vows, and, you know, in sickness and in health and all that. I'm very, very thrilled to have found each other. And about 8 months later, Olivia and I were getting ready to go to a Moth party, actually. It was the sort of kickoff party of the season of the Moth. And I had been feeling a little bit out of sorts. I was having some stomach pains, and I was sort of bloated in that area, and I was feeling like, gee, I just don't know if I really can make it to the party. And Olivia said, well, let me call up the health insurance nurse line, and we'll try to see if I can get something at the pharmacy for you that would help you out. So she called up Oxford Health Insurance, and she spoke to a nurse on the other line, and she gave the nurse all of my symptoms, and I don't know what the symptom was that she gave them that set off these alarm bells, but the nurse on the other line said, you've got to get them to an emergency room in 6 hours.
Ooh.
So Olivia rushed me to New York Hospital, and I was looked at by first a nurse, and then an intern, and then a fellow. Basically, we kept on going up the medical hierarchy. I really thought that, Hippocrates was going to be the next person to look at me. And this is not a very good sign when they're bringing in more and more senior people. Finally, they gave me a CAT scan, and a senior surgical fellow walked through the door. And that's the last person you want to have walk through the door. And we said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, it's the news isn't all bad. And we said, well, what is it? And he said, well, we've taken a look. We've done a CAT scan, and we know what the problem is. And I said, what's that? And he said, your colon is twisted. He said, this is a very, very rare thing. But it happens to something like 0.001% of the population. And really the only way to fix this is by operating. So I was sort of resigned. I had never been in a hospital before. I never had surgery before. Now, Olivia is a former journalist, and so Olivia always asks the follow-up question. I'm a rube, you know. I'm no offense to our listeners, but I'm from the Midwest. I kind of take things as they come. I never question things. I never question what doctors say. But Olivia went outside for a minute with the doctor and talked to him about what my odds were of surviving this surgery. And she came back in, and there were tears in her eyes. And I knew that something was bad. And I said, did you get some bad news? And she said, I just love you so much. And I said, I am screwed. This has got to be something terrible. Well, as it turns out, my odds were no better than 50-50. But you know what? I'm going to be in Milwaukee on June 6th. So clearly, I made it. So that's my little story, true story.
Oh, my goodness. What a story. Leah, what do you think?
I know. I'm in tears over here.
Well, we're doing a show about science in New York in June, I think on June 12th, and I'm going to do a more scientific, scientifically detailed version of this story. It is interesting, you know, when I started with The Moth, which was 1999, so I've been doing it for 10 years, the woman who was running The Moth in those days asked me, you know, do you have a story? And I told a story, and I really thought, in general, you know, my life was so uneventful because, you know, I'd, you know, gone to college, worked, you know, I really had had no adversity, no twisted colons, anything like that.
Yeah.
But I must say, since I've been involved in The Moth, my life has gotten so much more eventful. I think that the gods are conspiring to have me create more stories for The Moth. Maybe the gods, you know, the fates really have are looking over nonprofit arts organizations and trying to help them in any way they can. At WPR, you've got to be hoping for that, I guess. But really, I mean, my life, you know, has gotten crazy. I remarried. I never thought that would happen. I you know, got a twisted colon. I saw Manchester United lose. I mean, all kinds of crazy things have happened.
Oh, so. I'm so glad you're well. Goodness.
Me too. It was absolutely terrifying. My advice to everybody is just stay out of hospitals if possible. And also, you know, don't twist your colon. Actually, there's nothing you can do about that, unfortunately. It's just one of these things like lightning striking. You can't stop your colon from twisting, but it doesn't happen to many people. It just happened to me, and now I can tell everybody else about it. So
right.
it had a happy ending. I lived to tell the tale, plus I got a tale to tell. So.
Yeah, you sure do. I've never heard of that, a twisted colon. I've never heard of that.
It's, for those of you who like, you know, one thing that's great for hypochondriacs in this internet age is that we can now Google and Wikipedia any possible ailments.
Oh, I know.
So for those of you who are online and want to see what it's all about, it's actually called a sigmoid volvulus. That's the actual medical term, is sigmoid volvulus. And really, it doesn't happen. It hardly happens to anybody. But when it does, it's absolutely something you have to get fixed because otherwise, you know, you buy the farm. So so anyway, I'm here to spread the news of the sigmoid volvulus to the uninitiated.
Thank you very much. Leah?
I'd heard of a moose that had a twisted colon, but never another human.
Moose.
Well, unfortunately, that's not where the similarity between me and a moose ends. But, you know, the thing is, interestingly, I don't mean to turn this into a medical show, although, you know, I guess, you know, Grey's Anatomy does pretty well. So maybe it's something, a format change you might want to consider, Kathleen. But, you know, the thing about, the one theory about why I got it, and people who come to the Milwaukee show on June 6th will see this, I am a very long, lanky, kind of noodle-like human being. And people who are built like me have a tendency to have, they're more likely to have something like this happen than people who are sort of short and compact. Because, unfortunately, the things inside of us also tend to be kind of long and lanky and loose. So that's why, you know, it's like a colon gets twisted because there's just too much of it. My surgeon, who is this very nice Chinese man named Dr. Xu, was explaining this to me, and he said, your colon is redundant. And I was like, well, no kidding. So now they removed like 4 feet of it. I now have what's technically called a semicolon.
Oh, Auntie.
I know. Sorry.
No, it was good. You know, the thing about that story, and I'm wondering if it's true about stories that are captivating, is I thought, I don't know what you thought, Leah, that it was going in a completely different direction. You know, that we were going to the top here, and it was something that was not wrong with him at all. They were just, you know, if you go to the hospital, there's going to be something that's going to be diagnosed, right? Where, and it didn't go there at all.
Yeah. Well, I gave you a very sort of shortened version of it, but the thing that's interesting, this was a very dramatic, probably the most dramatic thing that ever happened to me, because I've never been in a life and death situation before.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about it, and, you know, when I do the longer version at some point in June, you know, it was truly a comedy of errors. I mean, there were great medical professionals involved, but you realize that we're human, the patients are human, but also the doctors are human. They don't really know what makes things happen. They even don't know, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, everybody in New York and probably a lot of people in Milwaukee, too, are on antidepressants. And antidepressants work great for a huge number of people, but doctors don't really know why they work. They've found that they work, but they don't really entirely know the chemistry that makes the brain feel better when antidepressants are used. So it's when you get into any story, you know, this is all about medicine, obviously, but anything, you realize, you know, we've had great surgeons, you know, brain surgeons tell stories of the moth, and you realize that there's so much humanity and fallibility in all of us. And I think that's where the really good stories lie, you know, with not where everybody's a Superman, but you know, where that's probably why LeBron James would not be a good storyteller, come to think of it, because he is a Superman. But really, I think, you know, when we get into any kind of experience, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Leah is from Denmark and came over here, and I don't think she knew what was going to befall her when she got here. But there's a certain amount of fate and luck and mishaps that happen to everybody, and those are really, I think those are really the grist for really good stories.
Mm, they sure are.
Part of what happens when you start coming to the moth is not just that your life takes this odd turn and suddenly all these dramatic events happen, but also that you develop this consciousness where, you know, we hear this from so many people that come to the moth, and the first time you say, well, God, I could never do that. I'd never have any stories. But as you come and you hear other people's stories, you go, oh, that reminds me of the time, and suddenly you see the stories in your own life in a way that you didn't before.
Right. Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Jerry from Grafton, hi.
My condolences on your sigmoid valvulus. This is a story from my seminary days about public speaking. And we used to have our big mass at 10 o'clock in the morning where all the seminarians were required to attend on Sunday. And Monsignor Peter Leo Johnson, when nobody ever called him Monsignor, he was called Doc because he had a PhD in church history. He always had the mass, and he always admonished the deacon who was going to be ordained in May of that year that if you can't say it in 8, it ain't worth saying, meaning that you cut your sermon off at 8 minutes. And there was a sedalia, the seat where Doc would sit along with the subdeacon. He had his beretta on, the church cap that the priest wears during mass. And it was October of 62. Right during the Cuban Missile Crisis, I was upstairs in the choir with my Liber Ursularis, and the deacon got going. And at the 10-minute mark, Doc just had a very muffled cough. He went, ah! And at 12 minutes, it was a little bit more pronounced. It was, ah! At 16 minutes, it was a full hacking cough. And Finally, at the 18-minute mark, Doc looked at his watch. He glared at the deacon, and his booming baritone voice throughout the entire chapel, he looked right at the deacon and said, "Let's wind her up!"
That's good, Jerry. You want to critique everybody?
Well, I thought it was short and sweet and had a nice, you know,
yeah.
I related to it, and this is why I stopped going to temple. You know, I mean, it's a great story. You know, that eight minute thing is a great limit. You know, it'd be great to place that on Vice President Biden and see if he could work with that, you know?
Yeah, it's good advice. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, it's also, you know, at the Moth, we always have a time limit. So the story really illustrated something that has been a fundamental principle of the Moth from the start, which is that at the slams you have 5 minutes, and at the main stage you have 10 minutes, and that we do have a slightly more polite way of letting people know that the time is up. We have a violin that plays and indicates that now they have a minute or two to wrap up, so we don't have to sit in the audience hacking. But I think it's absolutely true. Shorter is better.
Shorter is better. You know, I just want to hear more about, you've talked about pickpockets and hot dog eaters and brain surgeons. I'm just interested in more of the stories, more of the people who have come to tell tales. That's really a wide variety of humanity, isn't it, Leah?
It is, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we do at the Moth, in addition to the public programs that are very well known here in New York, is we have a big community program where we go out into communities that wouldn't come to us. And that's where we find a lot of these stories, like the pickpockets. And, and we found this pickpocket, in a community workshop we did, and we said, "You got to come do our main stage." And then he ended up going on tour with us because he was just incredible. He told this story about coming to New York to go to pickpocket school. He arrived with a letter of recommendation from a guy who had taught him how to pickpocket at Mardi Gras. He arrived with a letter of recommendation to go to the school, which was on 42nd Street in a back room. There was a little candy store on the front.
Oh, my gosh.
In the back, there was an entire room set up with mannequins that had wallets and pocketbooks and watches and jewelry, all with little bells on them. And in order to graduate the school, you had to be able to complete the course without a single bell going off. So just, we hear the most incredible stories at the Moth.
Did he change his ways before he went on tour?
Excuse me?
Did he change his ways before he went on tour with you?
He was already retired by the time that we met him, and he you know, starts every story by saying, "Don't worry, you know, I'm a retired pickpocket." But let me tell you about, you know, the things I learned in my heyday.
You must you're a careful listener, I know, Andy, or you wouldn't do what you do for a living. You must hear in the course of your week a lot of stories, don't you?
I do. I mean, to be a good writer, or even to be a writer at all. I realized I was about to call myself a good writer, which is a little self-serving.
It's okay. You are.
But, you know, my wife and I are both writers. I write, you know, I'm a fake journalist, and she's a real journalist. So it's a kind of a mixed marriage. I think our children will probably lie half the time is probably what we'll wind up with. But, we both find in our work, you know, it's, you know, I, to come up with fake news, actually, I have to listen to the real news, and I have to try to tease out what I think sort of the, this sounds kind of arty, but sort of what the deeper truth is, because to do satire, you have to kind of do what Mark Twain talked about and just sort of bring the truth to light, because the truth is usually funnier than anything you'd make up. And my wife, you know, she's a biographer and a journalist, so she has to interview people. She actually has to do that kind of reporting legwork, and I'm in awe of what she does, because she can, you know, very innocently ask the right question and then get, you know, exactly the right answer. But what I love about the Moth, and this is what I love about my job as the host of the Moth, is that usually when I come to a Moth show, I've never heard any of the stories before. And so I'm hearing all this for the first time. I'm just in the exact same position that the audience is in. And since I'm improvising in between storytellers and sort of riffing off the stories, I have to listen really closely, because I'm, of course, trying to think of what's
sure.
the funny thing I could say after a story closes. Now, sometimes, and Leah's observed this, sometimes the stories are so tragic that my coming on and making some wisecrack afterwards would be highly inappropriate and unwelcome. Right. So I'm careful to listen very carefully because, you know, if I drift off and I don't hear the part where somebody's mother died of cancer, it would be very inappropriate for me to come on and then say, well, that was hilarious. You know, so, but it's the audience, you can hear, I think Leah would vouch for this, you can really hear a pin drop during a good story. I mean, people just really give it their all in terms of their attention. It is spellbinding, to use a term that we've used today.
Hmm. Someone once said, you know, at the Moth, you feel like everyone is holding hands under the table. You know, there's this real feeling of community because something very real and very alive is happening right now, and we're a part of it.
Yeah. Tell me about how tomorrow's the deadline, I think, for the Every Man, Every Woman. How people should just go to the website, and if they have a story, are you going to audition people or what, Leah?
They should send us a synopsis of their story to the email address Milwaukee@themoth.org.
Say that.
And they can find information about all of this on our website and the link to this email address as well. So our website, of course, is themoth.org.
Okay.
And the email is Milwaukee@themoth.org. And they should just send a brief synopsis of the story. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay. And when you work, you said that Leah hadn't heard that story. I don't know how it could be a whole lot better than the one you gave us, Andy. But how do you work with people? Are you like a theater coach with them, Leah? Or how do you make the stories better?
Well, it very much depends who it is. You know, the approach is a little different with everyone. You know, sometimes we know that people have a particular story, and we say, you got to come tell the story about this unbelievable thing that happened to you. Other times we say, well, this is an interesting person, an astronaut, imagine that, you know, and we call and we say, well, what are your stories? And so the first 2 hours sometimes are spent just talking, saying, well, tell me everything that happened in your life. And they talk and they talk, and after 2 hours we say, well, maybe that's the 10-minute story. And then we start figuring out, well, how do you, you know, what goes in the story, what doesn't go into the story? And we really help people figure out, in essence, what is the story about? Because, you know, there's, of course, a difference between what happened and the story about what happened. And the story about what happened has to be some kind of deeper and more processed version of what happened.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good answer. All right, let's go to Steve from Onalaska. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
I spent about 15 years on the road as a stand-up trainer and motivational speaker. And I was just wondering what the difference was between a motivational speaker and a storyteller, because it seems like there's elements, you know, that are common to both.
Andy, you want to start?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of similar. You know, I actually sort of tread the line a little bit because, you know, in my other life, I'm a stand-up comedian. And, you know, sometimes stand-up comedians use stories as the heart of their act, you know, rather than just getting up and telling a bunch of sort of unaffiliated standalone jokes. You know, they tell stories, and that's really what they do. I have to say that doing The Moth actually has helped me as a stand-up, because there's something about the pull of a narrative that really gets the audience, as we've said, you know, really gets the audience's attention. Whereas if you're a comedian and you just do, you know, one joke after another, you're only kind of as good as your last joke. You live or die by that, and that's kind of no one wants to be in that position. But you know, I think probably I'm sure that a lot of motivational speakers would be good storytellers at The Moth. I think the one difference that I see is that you know, usually a motivational speaker does have, you know, by definition, an agenda, which is to motivate. And we at The Moth are really only trying to, you know, tell a story. We don't have a hidden agenda. Like, usually at the end, we don't say something like, so now's the time to quit smoking, you know, something like that. As a matter of fact, Leah would remember this. We had one very funny storyteller, Todd Hansen, who's actually from Madison, Wisconsin. He's the head writer of The Onion, and he's told stories with The Moth a number of times. And Todd, I've commented on him as being kind of the opposite of a motivational speaker, because he tells a very funny story about how all of his success is due to depression and inertia, because while other people were moving up and out from Wisconsin after college, he just remained stuck in one place, not knowing what to do. And so the onion sort of happened around him. And if he had left Wisconsin, it never would have, he never would have participated in its success. So that's sort of the opposite of what a motivational speaker tries to do. He's basically out there saying, remain inert, surrender to your depression, and success will follow. But he's a great, you know, Wisconsinite who we've had. And I'm just so excited about being in Milwaukee. I've never performed in Milwaukee. I've never even set foot in Milwaukee. And I've just heard wonderful things about the people and obviously the beer. We're very stoked about that.
It's a good place. You'll like it.
I'll like it. I'm staying at the, my wife and I are staying at the Pfister Hotel. Is that
supposed to be a nice one? Ooh, lovely old world charm.
All right. Well, maybe, you know, people after the show can hang out with us. You know, we can go back to the bar and, you know, do some shooters or whatever. I don't know.
Tell some stories. Gee, that's a nice invitation. I don't think anybody has ever, in my 33 years of doing interviews, given that kind of invitation, Andy.
Well, don't, you know, Leah, you know, the Moth started this tradition. We often invite our audiences
do
out
you?
With us after the show, right?
You yes. do, Leah? Wow.
Yes, that's true. The idea is that people will continue to tell stories, you know, because when you've just heard these wonderful stories, you're full of them and you want to share them. So we usually go out to dinner or go out to drinks, and anybody who wants to come will come along with the storytellers and the cast.
Ooh.
I mean, they'll pay for themselves. It's not on us. But
treat us as well. No, that's not true, but it's fun to hang out, though.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, somebody who you want to invite to the show, at least, is Danny Gokey. There are a lot of us who have never watched American Idol who got all wrapped up in this terrible show. I don't know why I have to admit it, but it's true. But he's just a really nice guy, and we want to hear the story about behind the scenes here. Because they did this big thing about Milwaukee last night, only it was the same thing as what you saw in San Diego and the same thing that you saw in Arkansas. And yeah. They've got this formula down. Make sure you say this. Make sure you. But he'd be a fun person to have in the audience.
You know, I have not been watching American Idol, so.
Well, he got kicked off the show last night. So he'd have more stories because he was a winner, but he was a loser. So there you go.
There you go.
Well, there you go. That's all we need.
You need winners who are losers. We all are. All right, let's go. Oh, we got to take a pause. Let's do that and we'll return. Our number is 800-486-8655, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests this hour are With a Moth. Andy Borowitz is here. Andy's been with us many times before. He's the host of The Moth, comedian, actor, writer, got a new lease on life. Got a new life since January of 2008. And Leah Tao, who is the executive director of The Moth. And we urge you to go, if you'd like to give them an outline of what your story is, it's kind of a neat part of the show on June 6th. So just go to themoth.org and maneuver your way through that, and maybe you can be on the show. Let's go to Wildflower from New Prospects. Hello, Wildflower. Is that your name?
Yes, it is. It's my name now.
It's your name now. And there's a story behind that, right?
Yeah, there is. I am a professional storyteller, and I'm very happy about this show, but I hear your comment that people are clamoring to hear stories, and yet professional storytellers, particularly up here, are really having a hard time to get adult audiences to realize that storytelling is for them as well, whether it be folk tales or personal stories, which I do most of.
Well, you know, I think, it's interesting. I don't know, I think the one thing that's been helpful in New York is that this institution has kind of grown up. I mean, I think that there probably were many storytellers who had great stories to tell but really didn't have a great venue for it. And I think the Moth has turned out to be kind of a magnet for them, and it's been a way of sort of bringing the audience to the storytellers and vice versa. So I don't know. Are there institutions similar to the Moth? Are there storytelling organizations that are trying to organize this?
Well, we have, you know, guilds, and we have conferences, and we have festivals. Mm-hmm. But it's still the everyday comment is, "Oh, you're a storyteller. You read stories to children."
Mm.
But, I mean, certainly there are storytellers, and there's some slams that are starting now. But it's still that for general audiences to understand that, you know, we have some juicy, fun adult stories out there that can be told and enjoyed. So I think it's great that you brought them off here, and hopefully that will expand people's horizons, and I hope to be able to at least come, if not participate.
All right. Thanks, Wildflower. Thanks for your call. We go to Kay from Stoughton next. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have enjoyed the program, listening to it. I also am a storyteller and just wanted to comment on the power of storytelling. And while most of the storytelling that I do is for children or children, I also do things for adult audiences. But I just wanted to relate a time when I was in a gymnasium with about 400 children that were getting a little bit restless and thought that I needed to change gears and do a different story than what I had planned and launched into another one. And there was a point at time at which during the story that there was a pause and I stopped and I looked at them and their eyes were glued and they were just waiting for the next word. And I had enough time to think, wow, I could say anything I wanted to hear and they're going to hear it. It was just a really powerful experience. And it just reminded me that the power of storytelling is it's marvelous. From young generations to older, it's really great.
Andy, you want to start with a response?
Well, I strongly disagree. No. I completely agree with what she says. It's funny when we talk about, you know, the term story or storytelling. It does sound very pedestrian, like, you know, oh, everybody has a million stories, whatever. But if you know what you're doing and you've got a good one, it's pretty hard to beat as entertainment. So, I basically say amen to that. I have nothing really to contribute other than my total agreement.
Thanks for the call. I'm amazed, Leah, when I look at the history of this, how long your organization has been around. It didn't just bloom last summer.
No, that's true. It's been a great build in New York, and we've sold out the shows pretty much from day one.
We've Isn't been very that fortunate something?
In that way,
yeah.
But we deliberately didn't want to move to venues that were too big, or because we wanted to preserve the intimacy that we find is really crucial for storytelling. So, we've been very fortunate to have a lot of success, but we've also tried to manage the growth. But one of the great things is the podcast, which we launched last year, and that's really given us a national presence that we didn't have before. Because of course we can't be in every city all the time, and so it's a great way to reach people and have them connect with what we do across mm-hmm. the country.
So are you, this show that you're going to be doing in Milwaukee, will you tape that show and it will be part of one of your radio broadcasts along with what you're doing in New York and elsewhere? How's this working?
We are taping everything we're doing, and yes, everything we're doing is going to be considered for future radio hours. We're pulling the best from everywhere we go, and we're putting it on the radio.
And there is something about the radio, Andy, maybe you disagree strongly with this, but it seems as though the radio, we take more in with the radio. I think studies have been done that show that we remember more if we're listening to news, if you just hear it. There's something about the intimacy of this medium. Storytelling seems perfect for it. That's what happens. We're telling stories all day.
Yeah, it's great. And, I've been involved with the Moth for 10 years, and I've been sort of beating the drum for all those 10 years saying, look, what we do is perfect for the radio. I mean, we have not only the ongoing stories we're doing, but we have archives going back 10 years of amazing storytellers, some famous and some, just everyman, but amazing stories. And I really think it's kind of a gold mine. And as you know, in public radio, everything leads to enormous, vast sums of money at the
end
sure of the
day. It sure does.
So that's what I'm hoping to finally cash in on this thing. But really, I think the show is going to be a huge hit. I've been involved in some hits in my life and some flops, and so I've seen them both. And The Moth is just will fit radio like a glove. I mean, people already love This American Life and, as I said, Garrison Keillor, but I think this is, we do sort of our own flavor of this, and I think, people are going to be blown away. The podcast, which is akin to radio, has already been one of the huge hits at iTunes. I mean, if you go to the Moth podcast at iTunes, it's consistently rated in, the top 50 and sometimes higher than that. I think people should avail themselves of that, and maybe that'll give them a taste of what we're going to be doing in Milwaukee.
Right. Well, we'll see you at Turner Hall. You'll like that place, too. Steeped in history it is. Thank you so much, Leah. Thank you, and thanks, Andy. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. And again, go to their website, themoth.org, and get more information about how you could be the person from Milwaukee who could be part of their show on June 6th. And we are going to soon be telling you about their appearance. We're going to be having them on the air here on Saturday afternoons at 3, the radio show, starting this summer, later this summer. So you can go to our website, WPR.org. And get more information on that. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, John Treader for on-air production. Thank you, everybody, for your stories as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.